Have you ever had a dream where you were free falling only to be startled and woke up still in bed? Ryan Campbell wasn't dreaming when he fell down a 60-foot cliff in the Daniel Boone National Forest in Kentucky, but he was still sleeping. He's okay, thank the Lord, only suffered minor injuries, but it does go to show you that while fully awake, you can still fall. However, the likelihood does increase when sleepwalking near a cliff, right? You see, being alert is more than merely being awake. It is a watchful diligence while being on your tiptoes. It may feel like right now our country is in a freefall. The social, the political, the spiritual divide in our society is greater than it has ever been. Already ravaged by the coronavirus pandemic, now our streets of our nation are being taken over by the combination of a peaceful protest, a peaceful demonstration, extreme agitators, social anarchists, and opportunistic looters. The chaos playing out on our televisions and social media has exposed the deep divide in the empty soul of our nation. Now more than ever, I believe, church family, we need to be reminded of our security, which is in Jesus Christ, our hope, which is in Jesus Christ, not in this world. If you have your copy of God's Word, please be finding your way to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, we find the final day of Jesus's public teaching ministry. Classically, our text is referred to as the Olivet Discourse. It is recorded in Matthew 24, 25, and Luke chapter 21, and it takes up the entire chapter of Mark 13. It's in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and they're all commenting, giving their Holy Spirit-inspired insights into the very same event, into the same message. But it's here in Mark chapter 13. Jesus is prophesying about the end of the world. He tells his disciples about these ominous things that are going to happen. Sun's going to be darkened. Moon is going to turn to blood. It's going to be characterized by serious difficulty, worsening conditions, religious deception. Nations are going to be warring against one another. Destructive natural disasters and persecution against the true believers are all going to happen during this period of history until the Lord returns. It's at this point the disciples, they don't know what to think. They know that the leaders of Israel are after Jesus. They know they want Jesus dead. Jesus has told them that he's going to be arrested, he's going to die, and then he's going to rise. And they're trying to piece all of this together. So they pose a question in Mark chapter 13, verse 4. And they say, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of all of these things that are going to be fulfilled? From there, Jesus gives an unmistakable message, an unmistakable command, drawn out of really an unmistakably clear portion of Scripture that we find ourselves in this morning in Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through 37. And the Word of God says this, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. And to each his work, he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37 says, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. In this short story, Jesus described himself as the master going on a journey, literally to another country. Jesus would be returning to heaven. Jesus' doorkeeper and the servants are those left behind to carry the work and commanded to keep watch for the master's return. Now that word watch appears three times in the text we just looked at. What does it mean though to watch for the master's return? The word literally means to stay awake, to be attentive, to be ready. Evening, midnight, the crowing of the rooster, early in the morning are all four watches times of the night based on how the Romans identified these hours. It has the idea of a watchman who better not fall asleep while he's on duty. The meaning of the illustration surfaces pretty quickly in verse 36, and you see it there where he says, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Suddenly indicates not the speed, but the unexpectedness of the master's return. Over 2,000 years have passed since Jesus spoke these words, but the truth remains, Christ is coming again, and when he returns, his followers must not be sleeping. Oh, by the way, the disciples weren't really good role models of this. Being alert, they're not very good role models in this gospel. You may recall the 14th chapter, how Jesus took them into the garden to pray with him, and what did they do? They all fell asleep. They would not be good examples of making sure you stayed awake. In chapter 14, verse 34, he says, remain here and stay awake. In verse 37, he comes back and he finds them sleeping and says, can't you stay awake and keep watch for 1 hour? In Mark chapter 14, verse 38, you keep watching. And he repeats it again in verses 40 and 41. Keep watching, keep watching. These are some sleepy-eyed disciples. That's the antithesis of watchfulness and alertness. Our Lord warns those in the future to be much more vigilant than the disciples were in the situation. He says, don't you be caught falling asleep. That word sleep here in Mark 13 refers to spiritual sluggishness. The kind of spiritual sleepwalking we experience when sports consumes the Lord's day, when frenzy pushes prayer aside, when books and magazines replace the Bible, and we hardly ever notice. In our spiritual sluggishness, we wander away wondering, who is God anyways? How does he fit in? Our enemy relishes in our spiritual sluggishness as he seeks to infiltrate our fellowships and turn us from our old paths. The world wants to grab our attention and captivate us with all of their tinsels and toys. Satan desires to lure us to sleep by telling us that we have, here it is, plenty of time. Oh, but we are to be as sober as the Apostle Mark's mentor, the Apostle Peter, as he described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, Jesus desires that none of his followers would be found spiritually lax, but instead conscientiously going about the work given by God for them to do. He has an assignment for you. We need to watch and be spiritually fit. This means working faithfully at the task that God has given us. Don't let your mind and spirit be dulled by careless living or foolish pursuits of pleasure. Do not let life's anxieties overburden you. I want us to turn, go to the next gospel, the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 21, I want us to see a parallel account of the Lord's sermon right here in Luke 21, 34 through 36. Luke 21, 34 through 36 says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. Verse 35, chapter 21 of Luke, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's Luke's version of being alert, so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life that will not come upon you like a sudden trap. Be alert. Church family, be alert. Be vigilant. Pray. Pray that your heart not be weighed down. Pray that you may not be overpowered. Pray that you may not be overwhelmed. Pray that you not get caught up in trying to find comfort in immorality or dissipation or drunkenness. Pray that you not be paralyzed by what he calls the anxieties of this life, the worries of this life, pulling you in all these different directions, disorienting you, things that cause you to struggle. This is a call to the future generation that we find here in our text, who will read the Bible, read the scripture, to not allow themselves to be fragmented or pulled apart, and not to try to be downtrodden by their fears and alcohol, or drown their fears in alcohol or immorality. Don't let that happen. Be alert. At the end of all of these things, Luke says in verse 36 of chapter 21, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." To stand there in his presence. That is to be saved. To stand and look at him as your Lord and Savior. You want to escape the final judgment? You do. You want to stand before the Son of Man and be accepted by him. Be welcomed by him. Be approved by him. And be embraced by him. It's in Mark chapter 13, verse 37. Jesus makes these verses very personal. And he says, "What I say to you, I say to all, watch." He may be making a prophecy to the nation of Israel, but here he speaks to every individual who will ever live. He is calling upon every person who reads these words and look at themselves in the light of his coming. In other words, what will his coming mean for you? A popular preacher, church history, Charles Spurgeon, has been called the Prince of Preachers. He once said, "This hour of his appearing is not revealed, in order that we may always stand on tiptoe, expecting it to be today." The point Jesus is driving home, when the days are marked by serious difficulty, when conditions worse, when religious deception is among you, when nations are at war with each other, when worldwide pandemic is all around and the persecution has come, stay awake. Stay physically awake and spiritually alert, because the Master is returning soon. Oh, stay physically awake. Spiritually alert, because the Master is coming soon. Are you diligently watching on your tiptoes? Are you ready? We're supposed to be. You know, it was years ago when President Dwight Eisenhower was in office. The president was vacationing in Denver, Colorado. One of my favorite stories, and it came to his attention, a little boy was 6 years old named Paul Haley, who was dying of an incurable cancer. He had one great dream that was someday to see President Dwight Eisenhower. And President Eisenhower made an act that will long outlive his wonderful speeches. He said to one of his aides, "Let's go see young Paul Haley." They got in the presidential limousine. They drove over one August summer evening to the home of the six-year-old boy that didn't know the president was coming. Flags on the fenders, they were flying, and that black limousine drove up, doors flew open, out walked the president of the United States, knocked on the door, and Mr. Donald Haley, the father, opened the door wearing blue jeans, overalls, old dirty shirt, one day's growth of beard, and he said, "Yes, sir, can I help you?" And the president responded, "Is Paul here?" Tell him the president would like to see him. Little Paul, to his amazement, walked around his father's legs and stood there and looked up into the face of the man he admired most, Dwight Eisenhower, kneeled, shook his hand, took him out to see the presidential limousine, and before he said goodbye, he hugged little Paul Haley, shook hands again, and he left. I bet you the neighbors are still talking about what happened that day. The only man who was not entirely happy about it was Donald Haley, the boy's father, who said, "How could I ever forget standing there? dressed like I was in those jeans, old dirty shirt, unshaven face, to meet the President of the United States, he had to get ready. I'm talking about keeping ready. If you're not ready, then get ready. It's honesty time. Most of us are not ready. And I know why we're so at home in this world. We've spent so much of our life trying to make a good life here. The thought of Jesus' return is mixed with a little fear, and a well-rounded fear. When he returns, an account is going to be given of our lives. And most of us don't really feel entirely comfortable and confident standing before a judge. When Jesus described the judgment day here in Mark chapter 13, he adds those odd phrases, those ominous phrases. On that day, the sun will be darkened. But in Mark chapter 15, at Jesus' crucifixion, we read that darkness came down. Utter darkness over the whole land. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that when Jesus died, the earth shook and the rocks split. Yep, but when you read in Mark chapter 13, then the story of the crucifixion in Mark 15, we should say, what's happening at the crucifixion? It almost looks like Judgment Day. Well, it was. Jesus was on the cross, the ultimate judgment day. He was judged in our place, so that for those of us who receive him, all we have to do is look forward to the reunion with our Father, not fear over facing the judge. Jesus faced the judge so I would not have to. At his first coming, he didn't come to bring judgment, he came to take it. This is the gospel. Jesus, the great judge of the universe, came the first time not to bring judgment to the earth, but to take it in our place. And all that is left right now, friend, is mercy and intimacy. But to those who have not received him, he will give them exactly what they have desired in eternity without him. So my question is this: have you received him? Are you ready for his return? Christian, brother, sister in Christ, are you diligently watching for his return on tiptoes, ready for the master to come back at any moment, at any time? Let's bow together. It's in this space that I want to speak to your soul. If you are without Christ, if you are outside of the Christian faith, I'm talking to you right now that Jesus Christ is going to come again, that you, that I, we are going to stand before our Lord God and Maker and give an account. Dear sir, dear ma'am, and I want you to know today is the day I believe God has put me in your life through technology to tell you that you can have your sins forgiven because Jesus' payment on the cross, that Jesus came and he died and he was buried and he was put in a tomb and he resurrected 3 days later so that you don't have to go into eternity in hell, so that you never have to face an eternity without the Father who loves you passionately. And it's so much so that he would send his only begotten son for you and for me. And all you have to do this morning is call upon him for salvation. All you have to do this morning is believe on him. Receive him as your Lord. It's not about praying a perfect prayer. It's about praying to a perfect Jesus. And I want to aid you in however I can in these next few moments. And just express a prayer. If you've never prayed before, listen, I've been in your shoes where I had no clue what to pray, and someone took me by the hand and just offered a simple prayer. And that's what I want to do for you right now. You say, I don't know how to pray. If the words I'm expressing, the words you want to use, you just express those to the Father. But if I were in your shoes, if I was in your seat this morning, I would cry out to him and I would say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you would forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. I repent of my sins. I'm trusting in your death, your burial, in your resurrection, And I'm asking you to save me this morning, that when you come again, you'll receive me as your own. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I surrender all. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to know the Bible tells us that heaven rejoices, that your sins have been washed as white as snow, that you have been forgiven. And we rejoice with you. And I want to ask you to do a really bold thing. I want to ask you to text me at 770-490-4725. 770-490-4725. That's my cell number, and I want to rejoice with you. And all you have to do is say four words, I prayed that prayer, and we will celebrate what God is doing in your life. I want to pray for us now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. For those who make decisions, God, I pray you give them boldness to tell others that today they prayed that prayer. Lord, for those of us who are your sons and daughters, right now, God, we stand on our tippy toes and we lean in and we look up and we are watchful for the day that the Master will come for his own. We long for that day. We yearn for that day. Lord, we keep our eyes on those eastern skies for the day that you will come. We love you, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.